Welcome to the Savvy Girls Podcast. This is Deborah, and I'm podcasting to you from Buenos Aires, Argentina.
And this is Melanie, and I am also podcasting to you from Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Yahoo! We have a packed show for you today. No, we don't.
In fact, we have no idea what we're going to do.
We have a couple of things planned for today, and I hope that they're good. Today's going to be a good show, right?
Yeah, I'd say we have 72% chance.
There's a 30 to 70% chance it'll be a decent show, so I hope you guys are ready.
Hold on to your knitting sticks, here we go.
And I say, hey, it's just an ordinary day, and it's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say it's all right.
Another podcast, number 27.
It is episode 27, and we are here together. This is an unexpected visit, actually.
It is. I just woke up one morning, and here I was.
And here you were. Melanie was singing in Vermont, and while she was there, I may have been complaining a little bit about everything I need to do, and then we may have looked up some seat sales.
And I may have gotten a singing job here also.
And so she's here, and we are having a good time together.
Before I talk about what we've been doing in Buenos Aires, I have a few more things I wanted to say about Vermont.
For those who maybe didn't listen to our previous episodes, Melanie is a professional opera singer, and she was singing with the Middlebury Opera Company.
In Vermont, the best place in the world.
And she has been loving all over Vermont, not in a gross way. She just loves Vermont.
Yes, Mom, I have been loving all over Vermont.
That's not quite what I meant.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have.
Yes, she has. So now Melanie has stories about Vermont to tell, so just go for it.
Well, I have one story about Vermont to tell, and I told you before, but I think I'd like to tell you again because there was a lot of background noise.
Go for it.
When we recorded it. So in Vermont.
Oh, dear.
I was attacked.
Oh, no. This story, I love this story.
So it's a pretty good story. It's basically my only story, so I have
But it's a pretty good story.
So I was at one of the supernumeraries, and in an opera, the singers sing. Occasionally, there's an actor who acts. Not that we don't act, the singers. But then there's the supers, who are the non-vocal parts, and there'll be a soldier sometimes, or a cameraman in this case. So Ken, one of the supers, had invited me over to his house to basically help him plant his garden. You know, I was thrilled. I love planting, and he had a great garden, and we went to a dairy farm and had local chocolate milk and went to a pewter place. It was amazing going to the farmer's market, all these Vermont things with the local, and it was wonderful. So we ended up back at his house. And as usual, I just wanted to make a quick trip to the bathroom before we went to the garden, just because, you know, a tough day of gardening, just
kind of makes a girl have to go pee.
Kind of makes a girl have to pee, all that nature and stuff.
Right.
So his wife went up for a nap upstairs in their lovely, lovely farmhouse I wanted. Upstairs for a nap, and Ken was out in the garden, and I went to the washroom, and I came out, and Pokey was there.
And Pokey is?
A monstrous cat.
Okay. Now, it's not that Melanie doesn't actually have a fear of cats or anything. This was actually a monstrous cat.
I didn't have a fear of cats. Now I will talk about that. Maybe.
Okay, go for it.
But Pokey had took one look at me and went and launched it to her himself at my pants.
Oh no, I forgot about this part.
And there were teeth in my pants and claws in my pants and cat trying to eat me, and I just wasn't sure what to do.
Well, and the cat actually, he actually scratched through your pants and was, like, scratching your leg and stuff, right?
True, but legs heal. Pants that are my length don't.
Okay.
So I love this pair of pants. Yes, sometimes I bend over, it shows a little too much in the back.
But there may be a little bit of plumber bum going on.
There is occasional plumber bum in these pants, but they're good pants. I lost them for about 8 months, so they're 8 months newer than all the other pants I own, because I bought them all last year. And they didn't get lost when all my bags got lost back in March. So these are great, these are I will survive kind of pants. And I didn't want the cat to completely ruin them. So I wasn't sure what to do. I couldn't yell up. I didn't want to be rude with someone taking a nap, and there was no way Ken could hear me in the garden. So I tried to unhook the cat's paws, but then it unhooked its teeth and tried to bite my hand. I thought, okay, What does a savvy girl do in this situation?
I don't think you were this level-headed at the time. I think there may have been a little bit of, like, being upset and scared.
Not yet. At this point...
You were still thinking logically?
I was thinking, how can I get away from the cat? Okay. I guess logically would have been backing my way into the washroom and maybe running into the shower and turning on the water. So, I don't know. I thought, gotta get out of these pants.
Right, of course.
So I eased the pants down. Luckily, I was wearing underwear.
Good call.
Clean underwear, no less.
Good call.
I eased the pants down. I got them off and...
Standing in the hallway. A stranger's house. Okay. Just confirming.
And so the cat at this point, I was holding the pants, but I was no longer in them. And the cat was still in them. So I thought, okay, it's sort of Jurassic Park. How do I get away from the Velociraptor? I sort of threw the pants over the cat, ran as fast as I could, and jumped on the couch with the cat an inch away the entire time.
Hot on my heels.
So I jumped on the
couch. No, but all of this occurred pantsless then.
Yes, I was pantsless. Okay. I was bleeding all over from my knee. There was blood all over the place, just dripping down my leg. And I jumped on this lovely tan-colored couch with the cat trying
hot
to get me.
Hot on your heels.
Hot on my heels. I grabbed a couch pillow, and I sort of played bat the cat away trying to kill me. Because it wanted up on that couch. I'd forgotten cats get up on things. Luckily, at that point, there may have been tears and wailing. Not from the cat. Which woke her up, brought her downstairs. She called Ken. The cat then turned on her and tried to attack us both.
Okay, but now she's come down, you're pantsless, bleeding on her tan-colored couch with her cat holding you hostage.
Yes, and then her husband comes in.
Oh, no.
He had wanted me to go over to visit the farmer next door with him, because they have a chicken farm, and I think he had said, just one second or something, I'll go get her. And he comes in, and... I had no pants, and I was bleeding on his couch. And his only comment was, well, when they ask how we treat our singers here in Middlebury, I'll be able to say that one of them took off her pants on my couch.
Oh, no.
I love you, Ken.
Aw, thanks for the good times.
They rescued me, and I was rescued from that cat. And the other times they came over, I didn't see Pokey. They locked Pokey up.
Thank goodness.
And that's basically my story.
That's a good story.
Thank you.
I bought me a cat. My cat pleased me. I fed my cat under yonder tree. My cat said, fiddle-lifey. My horse says, neigh, neigh. My cow says, baa, baa. My pig says, breathing, breathing. My hen says, shimmy, 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 shimmy. My goose says, baa, baa. My duck says, quack. My cat says, fiddle-lifey.
Okay, Deborah, it is your turn. What have you been up to?
Well, Melanie's making a face as in, oh my god, maybe she's going to talk about knitting.
I promised today that I would listen while she talks about knitting. So that was my listening face.
Oh, that's a good listening face. Well, I am working on completing a boneyard shawl. It is a Stephen West pattern, I believe. Melanie's already rolling her eyes at me.
I'm not.
But I'm making it out of my hand spun.
But you didn't spin it.
Yes, I did. I didn't dye it, but I spun this. So I'm...
Oh, wow. Good for you. I wondered when you were twirling the stuff to make it more extra.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. This is basically the first major item I've made out of my own hand spun. So
it smells like sheep.
It kind of looks like a shawl. So I'm enjoying this pattern. It's very simple, but I think it's good. It's good for hand spun because it's so simple. It's showing off the color and the texture and that kind of thing. I don't know if I talked about this last time, but I also finished my Icarus shawl. Melanie, you said that's the gray alpaca shawl that I showed you.
Ooh.
So that turned
out
well.
And in myth, do you know who Icarus is?
Yes, Icarus flew too close to the sun and then his wings melted. Isn't that it?
That is it.
Phew. Kind of felt like that was a test. No, and then I'm doing a lot of sort of stuff that I'm not allowed to talk about because they're Podcast-a-palooza preparations, so...
Exactly. We have a big show coming up. It was going to be next show, but to get everything done and ready in time, it will have to be the show after that. So it'll be episode 29.
Episode 29?
Will be Podcast-a-palooza.
That's right. So... a lot of my knitting time has been going into preparing stuff for Podcast-a-palooza, and so unfortunately I can't talk about that yet.
You could be silently mysterious. Mysteriously silent.
Melanie just doesn't want me to talk anymore.
No, I do.
But I did dye some of my own roving, and I was aiming for brown, and instead it came out beautiful pinks and purples.
Ooh.
And so I'm spinning that up, and it's turning, well, I've spun most of the singles, and I'm waiting to get, I ordered a couple new bobbins, and I'm waiting for them to come, and I'm thinking of maybe three-plying it, because I've never done anything more than a two-ply, because I only have three bobbins.
I thought you said you were having trouble with your wheel.
I was struggling with my wheel.
I was going to ask you that when I got here and noticed your wheel already.
I was struggling with it because the cord broke. What do they call it? It's a double-drive wheel, and so I only really know the words in Spanish, but the string snapped, and I was trying to replace it, but I couldn't get the right kind of string. So the string that I was using was, I think it wasn't strong enough, and so it wasn't spinning well. And I actually very recently managed to track down some heavier duty cotton string. And Ooh. So now it's back to working well, and I'm kind of loving it.
I have two wool things we need to talk about, both involving Deborah. The first thing is, for the first time in my life, ever, I saw her stash.
Oh, yeah, you did see my stash.
In all its glory.
In its full glory. Actually, I don't even know if you saw it in its full glory.
It has its own room.
It is my stash room.
I thought it was your guest den.
No, it started out as my TV room, and then it's become my stash room with a TV in it that I never watch. Because why would I want to watch TV when I can look at Stash?
She wouldn't let me in the room at first, but I snuck in when she was changing. Not in the room. Woo! Surprise, it's my Stash!
That's what the kids are calling it nowadays. What did you think of my Stash?
It was interesting to see, because last time I was here, you were over bird washing and over scrapbooking, but you hadn't... No, you had just gotten into knitting.
No, I had started knitting.
But not into collecting knitting. You didn't have a stash. You just had a few balls.
No, I wasn't into collecting yarn the way I am now.
So it was the very beginning of the madness.
Oh, yes.
I like the big white ball you had at the very beginning that was kind of kinky, crinkly. It was a huge white ball. It's right when you enter the room. It's on the left.
Oh, you mean the boucle cotton that I'm talking about in the yarn for my stash segment? That I'm sure you've listened to carefully?
I'm sure I've listened to it. Oh, I'm in trouble.
But she said she liked something, so that's good. I guess I'm not the most exciting podcaster right now.
Yes, you are. You know why?
Why?
Because the second yarn-related thing you have to tell me.
What's that?
Where are we going?
Well, okay, that's true.
Where are we going in 2 weeks?
I think you have to tell them. I think you might have...
I took pills like for malaria. I'm okay.
Yarn?
I'm not going to get sick.
Melanie has yarn madness.
I'm not going to catch it. I took pills. To not catch yarn madness, you have to eat ice cream and...
Ooh, we have ice cream in the freezer.
Oh, okay.
I totally forgot about that.
P.S. We're eating ice cream as soon as we're done this.
As soon as we're done this obligation, we're going to eat ice cream with sprinkles and bananas on top.
Dolce de leche, low-fat ice cream, no less. Oh, so good.
Delicious.
But to get back on our big important talk that will probably majorly influence the next podcast.
We're going to Uruguay.
Uruguay!
We're going to Uruguay, and in Uruguay, we are, of course, going to make a visit to the Malabrigo factory, and hopefully we can hang out with the Malabrigo guys.
I think we are. I think we actually
have lunch planned and such. And then perhaps we'll also visit our friends at Manos del Uruguay, and we'll see maybe 100 Pure Wool, and then there's a couple other yarn companies that I'll try to reach, so.
If you like the Malabrigo and want to hear more about Malabrigo, I think this will be our third or fourth episode.
This will be our third Malabrigo
and
episode.
Deborah, in case you haven't listened to early episodes, is moving to Colombia, and this is her last chance.
This will be my last visit to the Malabrigo factory.
Ever.
Well, I'm afraid to say, but perhaps. So there might be a little bit of, difficult decisions to be made. And this is, Melanie actually actively said, I would really like to go visit the Malabrigo factory, and maybe I'd love, actually, I think I'd really like to pick out some of colors of my own when I go there. So Melanie actually might be...
I just like shopping.
Yeah, you might be picking out a stash of your own.
And I like presents, and honestly, people I suspect that if Deborah spends $8 million on wool, I can probably throw in a ball or two and she won't even feel it. So I suspect there may be a present for me.
So you think you're going to convince me to buy you presents?
No, I'll just throw it on the pile.
Right, okay.
Convince.
But it requires you to get it back from me then after. We're talking a lot about something that hasn't happened yet.
But it will happen.
Well, it will, and then we'll talk about it again when it does.
Exactly. That's what's going on with knitting. So that's we can talk about something else.
Okay. I really should talk more about knitting on this knitting podcast. Overworked and underpaid seems to be the way of my life. Why do that people say to me, spending all you earn on your wife? There's no way they could see all that you mean to me. You should be the bride, should be the bride.
Deborah just gave me a present.
I did.
You know, some sisters give presents like... I don't know what sisters give each other.
Maybe they don't give each other presents.
Well, I just got a lovely boucle exfoliating cloth, which I think may be a hint.
And actually, if you listen to the feature that I've already done, I actually talk about using it to scrub pots. But it's unused.
Oh, phew.
But I was just thinking that the boucle would be... But now that I looked at you, I thought that would make an excellent exfoliating cloth.
Oh. So I have been in Buenos Aires for 2 days now.
2 days?
And I just wanted to tell a bit about my adventures thus far, because I know we'll have more adventures coming up.
You had an appointment today.
I did have an appointment today, because when people travel 7,000 kilometers or 5,500 miles south to Buenos Aires...
What else would one do except for...
Go to the dentist!
Go to the dentist! Actually, to give this a little background, it was time for Melanie to replace... What would you call it?
I think it's called a night guard. It's so you don't grind your teeth and
guard.
Have... It's a singer thing. A lot of singers have them, too, so you don't have pressure in your jaw at night.
Yeah, so she's had hers for a few years and was looking to replace it. And
it looked nasty.
So I wasn't going
to
say it.
It was. I couldn't bear to put that in my mouth anymore.
Excellent.
Yes.
It's a few years old, and Melanie asked me if it was cheaper to get it here than it was in Canada.
I think you had just gotten one, right?
I got one about 6 months ago, yeah. And it definitely is cheaper, and so she asked me to make an appointment. So her second full day.
Deborah went off to work, and I gave her the dentist.
I tried my best to give her instructions on how to get there. I even left the business card that said exactly the address.
It was a card. It's a bit of a strange dentist's office.
The building is, it looks like a regular apartment building.
It does.
And there's a security guard that sits just like most of the apartments.
Not today.
No security guard?
There was no one there. The door was locked and there was no one there.
So did you buzz?
But then it said 8A and 8B.
Ooh, tricky.
I know. I think they're both, in fact, the office.
I think so.
But I guessed and then I buzzed it and people kept answering and saying stuff. And I my Spanish is poor at the best of times. And I can understand a lot, but not that much.
Not through an intercom.
And I kept saying ortodontica, which I suspect is not the word for orthodontist.
It's neither the word for dentist or orthodontist.
So she wouldn't let me in.
Oh.
But then eventually she figured it out. I kept buzzing and she did let me in.
Did she come down?
No.
Oh.
But I went up in one of those great old elevators with the sliding doors.
Now, most elevators have sliding doors. These have the ones that you manually open the cage and then open the door and then...
So double grill.
Double grill, yeah.
So I went up and it looked like an apartment hallway. There were no signs.
None whatsoever.
And so I rang the buzzer and got let in.
And it's a proper dentist office.
It's a proper dentist office. Pure white. Everything is shiny white. The one we go to at home is beside a candy store.
Which is somewhat...
Ironic.
Ironic. Tempting.
And tempting. And it's a regular, a little bit dusty, just the dentist's office. This one looked like a dentist's office in a movie. It really did.
Oh, like in a good way, not in a horror movie.
No, in a good way.
Okay.
But definitely, it looked like you'd expect a dentist's office to look.
Right.
So by the time I explained what I was there for to the receptionist...
Who doesn't speak English.
I got shown to a chair, and I waited a while, got shown to a chair, and the orthodontist/dentist came in.
Yeah, same person is both orthodontist and dentist. She's lovely. She's my dorthodontist.
Dentodontist.
She's my dentodontist.
And I think they call them orthodontists or something here.
No, there are two separate words. One's odontologo and the other one's is odontologo. I don't remember.
Anyway.
For everyone who speaks Spanish, I am very sorry for that error.
So I sat down in the chair. The woman came in the room. She's very pretty. But just, you know, basically a stranger came into the room, walked right over. Leaned over and gave me a huge kiss.
And we were joking about this, but I was talking about our dentist when we were growing up, who was still the dentist back home. He comes in the room and he's wearing, I mean, joking, but he might as well be wearing a body condom for the amount of, like...
Yeah, he has gloves, he has a mask.
He probably wears glasses.
Oh, he has an eye guard. This woman comes in dressed really, she has a white coat on, but high heels.
It's face on smackaroo kiss.
So I got kissed by the dentist. Yay!
And then you had a good appointment.
Yeah, basically she said, you know, come back in a couple days, it'll be done. So I didn't do any touring today, but I did visit the dentist. It was freezing. Well, no, it wasn't freezing. It was quite warm today.
Yucky and raining.
It was really raining. So that was the highlight of my day thus far.
Yesterday we went antique shopping.
Oh, yeah.
What did we find at the antiques market?
Deborah bought me a present. Unless I pay her back for it, then it's no longer a present.
It's unlikely that that's going to occur, so let's just go with present.
Ouch! Excuse me a minute while I ouch!
Well, you just talked about how you were going to sneak presents into my Malabrigo bag so that I would buy them for you.
So Deborah bought me this, it's this old mirror, this tiny little old hand mirror with a portrait on the back, a portrait picture of someone. And it's just really cool, and I love that kind of thing.
That's not exactly what I thought we were going to talk about when we were talking about the antiques shopping.
It was a really cool antique, and it was 20 pesos.
It's true, but there were other things we bought.
Lunch?
Buttons!
Oh, right! The lunch was delicious. We bought pizzas. Yeah. But buttons!
Yeah, we found a booth that had some antique buttons, and we ended up getting a set of six. No, we got a set of four that had... They look like brass, I think.
I think so.
A set of four brass buttons that have trains on them, and a set of six brass buttons that have...
Llamas!
Yeah, and it was just such a neat find because, you know, fiber-bearing animal.
Buttons?
Buttons? What's not to love?
What are we going to do with these buttons?
We don't know.
In fact, if it weren't for Green Mountain Knitting Bags, we wouldn't care about buttons.
Melanie kind of got button...
Button...
The button bug.
Oh, the button bug!
There we go.
I caught the button bug from Martha, Green Mountain Knitting Bag.
And if someone didn't catch a previous episode, Martha is a listener of ours who hosted Melanie when Melanie was singing in Vermont, and...
Listen to episode 26.
Okay.
Episode...
We are going to refer you to episode 26. 26. But Martha's a listener. Hi, Martha.
Hi, Martha. And thanks for catching on your button bug, because I really need that now when I'm trying to de-stash my life.
Are you trying to de-stash? Well, you have four balls of yarn. She showed me a picture of her stash yesterday, and it was literally four balls of yarn in a shoebox. Partial balls of yarn that I have finished using and that I gave to her so she could use for, you know, little projects here and there. And she has them in a... Not a shoebox, actually. It's a shoebox lid. That's how much yarn Melanie has.
Time to de-stash. I'll never use it all.
I know you love yarn, but geez, Mel, that's overdoing it.
So we have lots of buttons. It comes down to that.
Well... 10 in total, actually.
Well, it's 5 each, although technically you pay for them.
So technically it's 10 for one and 0 for the other, but...
Wait, who's the one?
Probably you.
There's a sad ending to the button story.
What's the sad ending?
The place with the buttons.
Oh my goodness, tell that story.
Oh, you tell it.
We were at the antiques. There's sort of an antique area of town, and there are some indoor markets that are in this area. And we were told that there's this one particular guy, and all he sells are antique buttons. We were really excited, and we looked, and we ended up getting right next door to where we had told it would be, and we didn't see it. And we went, and we asked the shopkeeper next door, "Where's the button store?" And she said, "Oh, it's next door, but it's not open." And we had come specifically to look for antique buttons. So I think maybe tomorrow we should make a trip back over my lunch hour.
Oh, sweet.
Either that, or we should go to the textile district and go look at... Oh, by the way, I've started looking at bags that are made out of, what do they call them, like carpet bags?
Again, thanks to Martha.
Thank
you, Martha.
Martha makes knitting bags.
And they're beautiful.
But now that I've seen pictures of beautiful bags made out of upholstery fabric.
And she gave us these gifts, these little yarn bags made out of upholstery fabric. Yeah, she gave us little
project bags made out of upholstery fabric. Cute. And I'm kind of in love with the idea of upholstery fabric. And no, I do not have a sewing machine.
I wasn't going to say a thing.
But I kind of want to make myself bags out of upholstery fabric.
Great. Let's go shopping.
For today's yarn in my stash, I've picked something a little bit different. I've picked a novelty yarn. And this type of yarn I've never ever worked with out of an animal fiber. In fact, I've worked with 100% acrylic version, and I've worked with a 100% cotton version. Today's topic is boucle. I'm sure you've seen boucle yarn before. It's that novelty yarn that has loops of similar size, either tiny, tiny little circles, medium-sized loops, or much larger curls. And in order to make boucle, what happens is that two strands are combined. One strand, the tension is held tight, and the other one is much, much looser. And then the two are plied together. And when they're plied, the looser yarn actually ends up being twisted into loops, hence making it a very loopy yarn. I've made two major projects out of, well, one major project and one minor project out of boucle. Aside from making dishcloths, the very first project that I knit was an afghan. And it was an afghan made out of Bernat Illusions boucle yarn. And I see now, looking on the internet, that Bernat Illusions has actually been discontinued. And I went searching for the pattern that I made, and honestly, it's not that old. Maybe it goes back to 2006? But the pattern isn't even in the Ravelry database, so I'm guessing that not very many people had good experiences with this. The pattern and the yarn combination, at least. So, that's the first item that I made out of boucle, and I trudged through it, and I think I probably finished this project in 2008. The second thing, the yarn is in fact a 100% cotton, and it was super, super on sale. I think I paid something like $1.50 for 100 grams, so very, very inexpensive. Probably the company was looking to get rid of it because it's not an easy yarn to knit with. And generally, I don't think it's a very popular novelty yarn because of the frustrations that people have. As soon as I saw it, I knew that I wanted to turn it into dishcloths. Because the benefit of handmade or hand-knit dishcloths is that the ridges, often it's made in garter stitch, and then the garter stitch ridges create something that kind of scrubs your dishes. So when I saw the boucle, I thought, oh my goodness, all these little loops, they're going to be wonderful little scrubbies, and hopefully it will make dishwashing even easier. So let's first go through the cons and the pros of working with boucle yarn, and then I'll talk to you a little bit about my experiences. So, con number one, boucle yarn becomes tangled very, very easily. The little loops get caught on one another. It doesn't slide well within a skein or within a ball. And it's very hard to distinguish the individual strands visually. And I have to say that even this evening, I was working on one of these cotton dishcloths, and I was actually winding a ball out of my skein, and someone came to the door, and I carefully put the skein on the bed, because I was winding it around my knees. So I put it on the bed, and I went and I answered the door. I came back, and it was a giant mess. I don't know if this thing had a life of its own, but basically what happened was that I wasn't able to see anymore where the circle was. I couldn't find the center of the circle of the skein to then put it back over my knee to then continue. So I have a little bit of a boucle disaster going on at the foot of my bed that I've abandoned in favor of podcasting. Boucle is also not very forgiving when mistakes occur. And it's very, very difficult to see individual stitches because it's loopy and stitches are loops. So it's hard to distinguish one loop from the other. It tends to blend. The strands tend to blend together. It looks just like one big loopy mess, which means that to, for example, drop down a couple of stitches and fix one is very hard. It's also, I find, very hard to knit quickly with boucle, partly because the yarn doesn't slide easily through itself, so there's a lot of tugging and fiddling. I imagine that boucle would be very difficult to crochet with. And finally, stitch patterns disappear, and so I would highly recommend that you pick something simple, simple, simple. Not simple to knit, but visually simple, because you're not going to see anything complicated that you do. But now the pros of boucle. It is soft and loopy, it looks and it feels nice. And, as I said, the loops can be useful practically for things like scrubbing. I've also seen it described as being soft and inviting, the kind of what you would get from mohair, but without the itchiness of mohair. And I won't pretend that boucle and mohair are equivalent or that they're interchangeable, but certainly if you're looking for that soft, air-filled fiber type of look, then boucle can be a good choice. Also, many skeins of boucle have strands of different yarns or variegated colors, and so the finished project can actually be very interesting visually. It also gives a nice thick texture. Okay, now here are my tips for working with boucle. Definitely knit it on larger needles. If you're using a pattern that doesn't call for boucle yarn, I would definitely recommend going up at least one needle size. The larger the needles, the easier it is to slip one loop through the other and to knit with it. As I said, avoid complex stitch patterns. They disappear. It's not worth the effort. And knit at a loose gauge. Definitely don't knit it tight. You're going to struggle. And picking my very first knitting project to be made out of boucle forced me to learn to knit with a very loose gauge. And so I think I trained my hands to work with the yarn nice and loose, nice and relaxed. It made it easier with the boucle project, but it has also now made it much easier on my hands, and it's given me a nice, loose, relaxed gauge. Something that I read, this isn't an original idea, but I read it in a couple places online, was to combine boucle with a smoother and a more visible yarn. So you basically hold the strands double. And what happens is that suddenly you can see your individual stitches where you wouldn't have otherwise been able to see had you worked only with the boucle. Definitely take off rings, bracelets, other jewelry that can get caught on the loops. Boucle yarn catches very easily. Don't put your yarn down. Don't let it lie loosely. I learned that lesson tonight. And I probably have 2 hours of untangling ahead of me, so please learn from my errors and don't let it get tangled if you have any control over it. Frog sections carefully because it's very hard to see where your loops are. So if you're looking to pick up loops after you've frogged, that can be very challenging. Also, maybe a good idea is to create small pieces at a time and then combine them. So when I was making my Afghan, the pattern actually called for the entire Afghan to be knit on large needles back and forth. I found that it was just too easy to make mistakes and it was too hard to see what I was doing, and I would get to the end of the row and count and I would find that I had made a mistake. It was very hard to find where the mistake was, but my yarn, I would be off by a few stitches. So instead I did it in panels, and I did a five panels. They were long, but I think across they were only something like 36 stitches. So it made counting row by row and making sure I hadn't made any errors much, much easier. Also, be careful when you're wrapping your yarn around your needles. If you're working with sharp needle tips, you might actually stab the yarn. So this is one of those very few instances when it is actually easier to work with dull needles. And buy more boucle yarn that you think you need, because it tends to bunch up. You use a lot of yarn. And part of it is because you need to make those big stitches. Part of it is that the yarn itself is actually, you don't get as much yardage out of weight because it actually, those little loops take up a lot of space. I've also heard that boucle can get caught on wood and bamboo needles, especially if there are just any teeny tiny little imperfections in them. So smooth metal needles, smooth plastic needles would work very well. One of the pros that I forgot to mention earlier, because with boucle it's very hard to see individual stitches, it's also rather difficult to see individual mistakes. So if you're doing let's say, a knit and purl pattern, and whoops, you forgot you purled something where you should have knit, chances are it actually won't be visible. So keep that in mind when you're working, that although you can't see your mistake, and it's frustrating because you can't fix it, you also can't see your mistake, so then other people probably won't be able to also. So my couple of projects. I am knitting a very simple garter stitch dishcloth. I cast on 11 stitches. Don't ask me why I came up with 11. I think I tried casting on 15 and it looked too wide, and then I tried casting on 8 and it looked too narrow, so somehow I ended up with 11 on my needles. And this is going to knit up in, I don't know, half an hour. I'll have a finished dishcloth. And then, of course, there's the 2 hours I need to finish untangling my skein. With the Afghan, I actually did the pattern on the label, and it looked attractive, and basically it's a lace and cable pattern, and frustrating part of it is that I absolutely cannot see the cable. All of that cabling I did, and it's virtually impossible to see. I can see a line where the cable should have been, but I absolutely have to examine in great detail to figure out which is the right and which is the wrong side of the cable. I have to really, really look carefully, and I can't tell you 100% for sure which side is the cable side. I'm looking at it right now. It's what I keep on my bed. It wasn't worth doing the cable, honestly, because if I can't see it, then it wasn't worth the effort. The lace pattern worked out nicely. There are nice big loopy holes, and I can see, especially when it's stretched out, I can see the loopy holes. So holes with boucle seem to work. I still have some left in my stash. Because the cotton was so inexpensive, I bought more of it than I needed, thinking, whoever stops needing dishcloths? And I have another 3 or 4 skeins of different colors of these Bernat Illusions. That brings me to the end of this episode's Yarn from My Stash. I'm so glad that we were able to fit a Yarn from My Stash in for this episode, because I feel like I haven't done one of these in a while and I was missing it. Thank you all for listening, and enjoy the rest of our episode.
When I was in Vermont last week, I was in a used bookstore, and it's called Otter Books, I think, or Otter Creek Books. And they had tons of wonderful books. Used, well, they were most of them used, but older books and current books. And I was poking around the children's book section to see what I'd find. And I found this book called
The Silver Llama by Alida Sims Malkus.
And this book is from 1935. So I don't believe that anyone will be angry if we read some of it on this podcast.
I hope not.
And this book costs $3. It's withdrawn from a school library, and $3 seemed a lot to spend for a book. A children's book withdrawn from a school library that isn't in the best condition. However, the story makes it all worth it. It is sort of a fiber story. And this is chapter 1, The Baby Llama. A few minutes after Yama was born, the shadow of great wings fell across his small fleecy body. A giant condor soared overhead. His keen eyes told him that here might be a tender morsel for breakfast. But Yama's mother saw the dark shadow that moved like a cloud above them. The great bird wheeled and came with a whistling rush down toward the baby llama. The mother rose hastily to her feet. The baby rose with her. She pressed the little newborn thing down the sunny slope toward some sheltering rocks. Yama felt his mother's fear and kept close to her side. His legs were still rather wobbly and ready to slip out from under him, yet he trotted along beside his mother and even snatched a little warm milk as he went. The mother llama crouched down beneath an overhanging ledge. The rocks arched above them. The great dark shadow was moving swiftly over the earth, and the noise of the giant bird's wings froze the baby llama with fear. Like a black cloud, the condor swept down the wind past the rock. But it missed its strike. The prey was out of reach. Not until the big black shadow stopped moving over the mountainside did the mother llama come out from the shelter of the rock. Then she led her baby carefully down the mountain. Down, for Yama's spurs were tender yet and no good for climbing. And, too, she wanted the other llama mothers to see him. Yama was pure white. His hair was soft and silky and curly. He was a silver llama, and his mother was very proud of him. There were many other llama babies in the flock, but Yama was the prettiest. They all looked a little like sheep, a little like deer, and a little like camels. In a tiny, sheltered valley high in the Andes Mountains, the babies skipped and basked in the sun. The snowy peak that looked down on them was reflected in the blue waters of Lake Titicaca. The condor swept over the slopes above, and in the grassy valleys below, the puma and the fox prowled. But here they were safe. When darkness fell, the mothers pushed their babies into the middle of the flock. Yama snuggled close to his mother. All night he was warm, even though icy winds blew down off the snow-capped peaks rising around them. When morning dawned, the llama mothers decided they would move to another pasture, for it was a nice spring day. In the valleys and in the lower meadows, there was plenty of nice gihu grass for the mothers, and tender little herbs for the babies to nibble. All day Yama was warm in the sun. He was gaining strength every minute. Yama watched his mother and learned to make funny faces. Yama learned to lie down and to get up properly. He galloped to shelter whenever that great dark shadow fell upon the fold. The condor's cruel beak would quickly finish any creature found helpless upon the mountainside. Once, an enormous shadow moved swiftly over the hills with a frightful thunder, which sent the whole flock racing to shelter. Never had there been such a condor. And the pilot in the airplane up in the sky looked down and laughed. "See the herd of llamas running away from us," he called to his co-pilot. One day, the keeper of the herd came and brought his rosy-cheeked son, Kuzi, who was 10 years old. They were Quechuan Indians who lived on the high plain called the Puna. Kuzi and his father drove the llamas and the babies, wawas they called the babies, down the mountain. With gentle cries and the music of Kuzi's flute, they herded them into the meadow. "Here is a fine wawa," said Kuzi's father. "He is pure white, the only one in the flock. He looks like silver, and silver llamas are always lucky." The herdsman knelt and hugged Yama. Then Kuzi hugged him. They held him tight, and they made a little hole through each of his ears. Yama bleated and cried out to his ma, ma. But it was all over in a minute. There, he had a bright red tassel hanging from each of his pretty little ears.
"Now he is mine," Kuzi cried. "Let me keep him with me."
"No, the wawa must stay with his mother," said Kusi's father. "The flocks would soon eat up all the yuhu grass near the house. But you can be the herd boy. Heya, heya!" So Kuzi and his father followed the flocks. When the sun stood overhead, they took out their lunch. They carried it in a knitted bag. They had huno, which is frozen potato, and a piece of dry, stringy meat, which they called sharkui. When night came, they ate some more of the meat and potatoes and drank from a big water jar. Then they crawled into a little grass hut, which Kuzi's father had made on the hillside, and went to sleep. The next day, Kuzi and his father drove the mothers and the babies slowly down the mountainside. When the sun went down behind the mountains, they herded them into the corral, shouting, "Heya, heya!" Kuzi put up the bars, and he and his father went to sleep with the animals. They snuggled right in among the flock. Llamas make a very soft bed, and they make warm blankets, too. Soon the llamas were asleep. Not a sound could be heard but their chewing. No well-brought-up llama would think of eating after bedtime, but each one has his own cud, which he chews on during the night. Yama and the other babies helped themselves, whenever they were hungry, to the warm milk which their mothers always had for them. When morning came, they again went up on the mountains to graze in the meadow. Yama's mother kept him silvery and beautiful. She was forever smoothing his coat with her tongue. Each day Yama's legs grew longer and stronger. So did Kuzi's. Each day Yama's lungs grew deeper and bigger. So did Kuzi's. Soon it began to grow very cold on the mountain. Yama's coat grew thicker, but Kuzi's blanket, alas, only grew thinner and more ragged. "We must go down to our home," said the father.
"I want to see my mother," said Kuzi, "but I want to take my Yama with me too. You said the silver llama always brings luck."
"I know," said the father, scratching his head. but he must stay with his mother until spring. There is not enough food at home for them. They will find more food up here. And at home you will find a little Wawa to look after, I think. A baby brother or a baby sister. You can mind it this winter. Next spring you may take your silver llama." Koozie's father took out his counting rope. It was a quipu, which means knot. It was made of llama hair. He tied a knot in it for each animal in his flocks, so that he would know just how many there were. The brown llamas had a brown string, the black ones a black string, the spotted ones a spotted string with 50 knots, for there were 50 spotted llamas. But the white string had only one knot. That was for Yama. Then they went down into the valley. But Yama stayed with his mother on the mountainside. And that is part one of the story of Yama the llama.
The silver llama.
And a lot of things happened to Yama, so hopefully we will have time to continue this story, since it's a great story and you can learn a lot about fiber arts and
llamas.
And about what llamas think, because it's important to know what
it's
llamas think.
It's important to know.
Deborah.
We are in the textile district now of Buenos Aires, and I have started looking at upholstery fabric, and it's gorgeous.
You've done more than look.
I've purchased. I bought enough for a couple of bags, and all of this is stemming from my love of yarn and knitting, because I'm looking to make knitting bags and project bags, and the fabric is beautiful, and this is a whole world that I hadn't yet explored.
And tell a bit about these stores. They're different from just the general
fabric store.
Closed door fabric store at home.
Yeah, it's a street with stores with open fronts. So basically I think that they roll up a security wall, and so the entire front of the store is open, and then they're sort of rectangular. And you walk in and there are bolts and bolts of fabric, some lining the walls, some standing vertically on the ground.
And there are people of every age here, which is very interesting.
Ages and stages and interests and...
Well, probably the same interests.
Well, mostly same interests, I suppose. And staffed mostly by men are hefting heavy bolts of...
Fabric
around.
So what
exactly.
Did you buy?
Well, I already have a blue and cream... flower with sort of medium-sized flowers on it.
Ooh.
And I got half a meter of that, and they're a meter and a half wide, so that's pretty good. And then I got 1 meter of a spiral,
it's really neat,
circle bubble reds and greens, and that I got 1 meter of that, but it's 3 meters wide, so I got a lot of fabric with that one.
You can make a cape.
I could make a couch, probably.
So we are going to keep looking.
We are going to keep looking.
A la derecha.
We're in a taxi heading back
from the fabric district, and Melanie just gave me a fine, fine rendition. In fact, a better rendition of what song was it? I forgot already.
The song from The Bodyguard. I don't even know what it's called. The I Will Always Love You song.
I Will Always Love
You. It's playing in the taxi, so we were all singing along.
Yeah, what's the word when you sing to someone and you love them? What's the word?
Ballad? Croon?
No.
Serenade.
Yeah, that's it. Sorry. She was serenading the taxi driver with I Will Always Love You. A much better version of it. You want to give them a sample?
No.
Yeah, just checking.
But we bought a lot of
fabric.
I bought some fabric too, and it has words on it. It's English, so it's English spelled creatively.
With creative spelling.
And it says...
You're going to read it.
Yeah. By the way, they like the 80s music here a lot. Okay, it says, lots of fabulous dreams and adventures are store for you, and the odds are you will survive it. So...
The odds are good, you know.
It doesn't say the odds are good. The odds
no,
can
I know
be
that.
Bad that you'll survive
it.
The odds are you will survive it. And then Deborah found some sensible
material. Sensible fabric. Fun, but sensible.
sensible considering she has no sewing machine.
Oh yeah, good point.
So we have so many adventures coming up. This is probably the last adventure.
Gracias.
Oh, gotta go. We're at her office. Gotta go.
It's neat and it's sweet. It's a ding-dong treat. Little socks for little feet.
Just knitting with your knitting all day long.
You know, knitting's friendly and knitting's fun.
Knitting's good for everyone. And that is why we sing this knitting song.
With knit one, purl two. What's a knitter gonna do with a gall? Darn, ball of yarn. And stitch three, drop four. Pitch that knitting out the door right now.
I hope you enjoyed this show. Coming up in our next episode, we don't know yet, but the episode after next
is Podcast Palooza.
Is our Podcast Palooza, because that will be our 1 year
Podiversary. There's going to be all sorts of surprises, and we can't tell you what they are because then they wouldn't be surprises.
Yeah, and we want to make sure we can get them all done in time for Podcast Palooza. So, things to look forward to. And thanks for tuning in.
Exactly. And if you want to reach us...
How can they reach us, sis? You can do it now.
Oh, seriously?
You've listened to it during 27 episodes.
If you'd like to reach us, you can email us on Ravelry, or you can email us off Ravelry. And I am melanie@savvygirls.com.
Do you want me to do it? .com?
I don't know.
That's so not our address. Don't listen to what she said. If you want to reach us, you can find us on our website.
I'm tired.
I think you are tired. You can find us on our website at www.savvygirls.ca. That's SAVVYGIRLS.ca. You can leave a comment there. You can also email us at podcast@savvygirls.ca. We are both on Ravelry. I am Savvy Girl Deborah, and Melanie is Savvy Girl Melanie. Thank you so much to all of you for listening. If you are a first-time listener, thank you for joining us, and we hope we have you with us again in our next episode, and the one after that, and the one after that. And if you are a returning listener, thank you so much for all your support and for coming back episode after episode, and we also hope you will be with us in many, many future episodes.
Tend to your knitting, kitten.
Would look silly without lime green stripes.
Well, don't shout.
I'll shout if I want to. And do you know why?
Why?
Because I hate knitting.
We just finished putting the podcast together, and then we realized that a commercial that Melanie filmed many months ago has been
released.
It's available only online, but it is a Microsoft commercial for
Office 2010.
For Office 2010. Melanie, why don't you talk about it just a bit?
Well, they hired me as a singer and a user of Microsoft Office, so I do sing on this commercial a little bit. Out of context. It's taken out of context.
Out of context. But Melanie also talks about her experiences working with Office 2010, and she looks absolutely adorable, and I love my sissy, and I'm so proud of her.
I do really like that cardigan.
It's a lovely cardigan.
It's not hand-knit.
But it is made out of a knit fabric. If you want to check Melanie out, how can they find you?
Just go to YouTube and search for Make It Great Inspiration, and I should be the first one who comes up. And that's all we're going to say about it. So it's about a minute long. If you want to see me doing my thing, check it out.
Check it out.